You know, the hallmark of a good parent, and I would say the same hallmark of a good mechanech or mechaneches, is one who pays attention to the situation and is constantly ready, focused, willing, actively involved in addressing issues and problems that exist, that arise, and deficiencies that may exist, and trying to improve what we do. The truth of the matter is that that's really our tachlis in life. I shared over here a few times over Shabbos a Rashi that I think very relevant to the youth today, but it's also relevant to us in a different sense. At the end of Koheles, Shlomo HaMelech says, Seif Dovra Kol Nishma Esa Lekim Yiro. So Rashi says, Mashatucha Lasei Velibcho LaShomayim. Yiras Hashem is doing the best that you can, but Libcho LaShomayim, always looking to improve. I think that really is the goal of every mechanech, that we're doing the best we can, and we are, we're to be lauded for it. It's great mesiras nefesh. I don't have to tell you people what the dimensions of that mesiras nefesh is, but we also want to do better. We're constantly striving to be able to do it better. But libcho l'shamayim, always looking to improve, and that we should have a siyata d'shmaya to be able to do better and better. And therefore, I think it's important to constantly evaluate, explore issues that might be relevant. And if they are relevant to us, to our chinuch, to our talmidim, to our talmidos, then we have to apply it. There is today in the world, it's been for quite a while, I think it may be getting worse, a crisis in the world of emunah. It doesn't begin with emunah, because our emunah is really very simple. But it begins with emotional and psychological issues. It begins with a lot of different places. It could begin in the home, it could begin in the genes, it could begin in the friends, in the society, in the classroom, in the previous year's Rebbe or teacher. But there ends up at some point questions. But we had a session today here with parents, community members, and a woman asked a question. We had a panel of two yeshiva bochrim that were very eloquent in answering some of these issues too. And the question about, my kid has questions, and the sense that he gets is that we don't ask questions here. We're not supposed to ask questions here. He feels stifled. He feels cheated. He feels something must be wrong with him if he has questions. Now, if that was just a random question, I would say, okay, you know, we tried to help her and answer her. But I hear it all the time. I hear it all the time. That our youth today feels something that tells them that we can't question anything. It has to do with our establishment status. You know, we are the establishment. Look what our moistus look like. Look what our communities look like. It didn't look like this 50 and 75 years ago. And you know, we're strong in numbers, we're strong in strength, we have influence, we have clout, and you know, we don't look lightly at people who would question what we're doing. And that's a terrible, terrible, terrible mistake. Because kids have legitimate questions. The world today makes questions literally at their fingertips. And whether we think we have them protected from all the outside influences or not, chavra chavra islay, one way or another, they are influenced by what's going out in the world. And in the world today, the ideas, the stupidity, the depravity, the insanity that you can hear out there can drive anybody crazy and create questions which maybe have no basis in reality, have no, don't make any sense in reality, but to them it's enough to shake them up. So one of the issues that come up as a basic issue is emuna. Now, without emuna, there can't be bitochen. That's the Loshon of the Ramban. Kol ha-boiteach ma'amin. Ve'im kol ha-ma'amin boiteach, shema gorem achet. Kol ha-boiteach ma'amin. One cannot trust Hashem if he doesn't have emuna. But I would like to suggest that there's a problem today with emuna, and it's not intellectual at all. It's motivation. Motivational. What's my motivation to accept and to believe and to be makabel upon myself a malchus shemayim, which gives me so many restrictions, which gives me so many, which prevents me from so many things that I might otherwise like to do, and makes my life quite burdensome. And that's a very realistic thing. In fact, Chazal bring, the Ramban brings a mechilta on Anochi Hashem Elokecha, says, Moshe LeMelech Shebo LeIr, and the people of the city say, Melech, Gzeiro Leinu Gzeiros, please make Gzeiros for us. And the Melech says, Im Malchusi Iyatem Mekablim Heich Tekaimu Gzeirosai. First you have to be Mekabel the Malchus, then you could do my Gzeiros. Because if you're not Mekabel my Malchus first, you won't be able to do the Gzeiros. Aye, they just ask Zoyra Leinu Gzeiros. They're asking for it. They want it. They recognize the need for it. But if there isn't that abstract sense of, I'm in heaven, this is what I have to do, the burden of the Gzeiros, even that we wished upon ourselves, are so overwhelming in their details, in their burden, in their structure, in the minute details, that it can overwhelm anyone. You know, we're used to it. And sometimes we even manage to make peace with the little deviations that we may do. But these kids, and that's there, and it's normal. And it plays out oftentimes with questions. Because the burden is so great, or because I hear certain things which are so shattering, or for whatever the reason may be, it's too difficult for me personally. I have some trauma, I have some whatever. And it plays out in questions in Emuna, and we have to be able to answer those questions if we wish to help them. Because even if we know the Chochmah, the psychological Chochmah of knowing that really the question is not intellectual, it's emotional, and we have to delve into the emotional problem and see what we could do. Two problems with that. Number one, there's nothing we could do sometimes about the emotional situation. It's beyond our ability to help. And number two, even if the question is an excuse, if we don't get rid of the excuses, we'll never get to the core. We'll never be able to penetrate to them, to their hearts, to their neshamas, because they've built up this barrier of these excuses. So, and just to tell them, that's only an excuse, and you're fooling yourself, and it's nonsense. Nonsense is not an answer to a question. Nonsense is the biggest put down in the world. Because what you're saying to me is that I'm not even good enough to ask a question. Now, if you're not good enough to ask a question, what good are you? I can't even ask a question. An answer, Mela. I can't even ask a question. So we must be able to deal with these things. One of the things that's very helpful, and this is very strange, and I just share it with you because I think it's a psychology that is a reality, and that is that even though the Rishonim say that kol haboteach ma'amin, it's shayach to motivate a person to become a ma'amin when you introduce him to bitochen. Why? You can't have bitochen unless he's a ma'amin. That's true. But he can crave bitochen if he's not a ma'amin. He craves menuchas ha-nefesh. He craves to be able to be close to the Borei Olam that he doesn't yet believe in. That may sound strange to you, But it's very true. It's very true. Because deep, 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 and very deep down, he knows what the truth is. And if he could only have a positive relationship with him, then he would allow himself to admit that he believes. He believes in him, he believes in Torah, he believes in everything. No problem. Problems are all gone. So bitochen can be used as a motivation for people to truly allow themselves to begin to believe. Now, the bitochen, of course, many, many levels of it, but just showing them Hashem's involvement, Hashem's positive involvement in our lives. Most people today have heard about the negative aspects of human living. They've heard about a Holocaust, they've heard about illness, they've heard about mental illness, they've heard about tragedy, they've heard about so many things which shake them, which unfortunately to them helps them forge a concept of, you know, I often say that if you ask kids today, what's your concept of Hashem? The pasuk that first comes to their mind is Kel Nekomo Yis Hashem. Because they see a lot of that. And the Hashkocha Protis, and the Nisim Nistorim, and the Chasodim that Hashem does b'chol yoyim, b'chol eis, b'chol shor, that's not so obvious to them. So just showing them, look at the Chesed Hashem, look at what Hashem does, pointing out Hashkocha Protis, telling them, sharing them a personal story, Ahin Naher, this one, that one, the other one, get them to, many, many Mechanchim, Mechanchos have been very successful getting kids to keep a diary of their own stories of Hashkocha Protis. But just to get them to recognize Hashem's Hashkocha can do so much. One of the Meforshim explained the Medrash when Yaakov was coming and meeting with Esav, and he tells him his whole story that B'makli Ovarti Esayardi Nazeh and so forth. So he says, he explains, he says, he was telling Esav all the Hashkochas Hashem that happened to him. That's going to melt the heart of Esav. Esav is going to be more angry if you had Hashkocha. He's jealous, he hates you, wants to kill you. The human being, even despite how off, the bitter, the deep-rooted hatred that he has, when he hears about Hashem's Hashkocha, it melts him. It melts him away. Rashi says the pshat, Halus Hashem kol goyim shabachu kol umim ki govar aleinu chastoi. Zot Rashi, af al pi she govar aleinu chastoi, Halus Hashem kol goyim. We tell the goyim to praise Hashem for the chasodim he did to us. I'm going to praise Goyim, praise Chasodim, what does the Klal Yisrael? There it says, because seeing the Chesed Hashem is so warming of the heart. It's so exciting of the mind. It's so sensitive to the Neshama that it has wondrous, transformative powers over even the worst of the worst of the worst, over an Esav's hatred to Yaakov. So this is something that I think is very, very important. We shouldn't be afraid to talk about bitochen. We shouldn't be afraid to talk about asking Hashem to help us. We shouldn't be afraid to talk about connecting to Hashem, having a relationship with Hashem. I told this story here this morning when I gave a session for Mechanchim that were going to Budapest to start the first day school there in 40 years. The speaker before me said, make sure you don't mention anything about Hashem because Hashem hasn't been in Budapest for 40 years. And I got up there furious and tried to control my anger. And I said, you have to talk about Hashem. Not only that, you have to talk with them from the beginning about having a positive relationship with Hashem. And the first week of school, I speak to the guy who was organizing the whole thing. He didn't know what I spoke to them. And he says, you know, I want to tell you a little story. This little six-year-old girl came home the first day of school. She said, this is in Budapest, a communist country. Mommy, Daddy, there's a God in the world. And the family literally rejoiced. So we have to, and this gives them a sense. If they perceive all that Hashem is about is restrictions, if they perceive that it's all about the good in the next world, be miserable in this world so you can have it good in the next world. The next world is too far away from the minds of young children to feel that, oh, I'm going to act now for so many years in order to have it in the next world. They can't relate to that. So we have to be able to give them a positive attitudes, positive values, a recognition of Hashem's involvement in our lives, a recognition of the Chesed Hashem, a recognition of Hashem's Hashkocha Protis, a sense of bitochen that we can not only pray to Hashem, we can turn to Hashem in tefillah, and then we can strengthen ourselves and put our trust in Hashem. I want to share with you, don't know if I have it here, but I want to share with you something which, a shortcut. We need shortcuts, right? In teaching, you use shortcuts? No, I think with the kids today, that's the only way. I don't think I have the shortcut with me. No, sorry. Oh! Okay, listen to this. This is, they recently printed a sefer from Rabbi Avrom ben Ramoch. It was a from the Sfardim, the Tkufa of the Sfardish Rishonim. And he writes as follows: on the posuk in Tilim, Elakai b'cho b'tachti al evoisho, al yalzo evayli, chofhe in Tilim, gam kol kevecha lo yevoishu, yevoishu abodim reikom. So he says as follows: Gam kol kevecha lo yevoishu, bol rabbis veloimar. This comes to teach us this lesson. She'ein tzorich loimar, she'aboitchim ba'ashem, she'ein betachlis ha'shleimus, lo yevoishu lisivrom. He says, he doesn't have to tell, besides that, we don't have to tell us that those that have bitochen in Hashem will not be embarrassed for this bitochen. Their bitochen will not be let to be mevuyash, they will be answered. Even those that don't achieve that ability to get their hearts ready to be able to trust you that you're going to deliver for them. Because they're drawn after materialism, they're caught up in this world, and this world means so much to them that they have trouble relying just to be sure everything's going to work out. I need it to work out so much that I can't even allow myself to rely. Such a psychology, but that's not for now. But they just hope. They aren't sure. They're just hoping. But they refuse to give up hope. Afilu elu lo yevoishu mitikvosom, ele ta'aneim v'toshiyeim. Even these people who have not allowed themselves, that's the Loshni says, they're so nimshach after the gufnius that they can't bring themselves to rely that Hashem will take care of everything because it means too much to them. The stakes are too high. They cannot just rely on that. They have to have it. They got to get it. They can't count on it happening. Even such people, if they just don't lose hope, kol ze mekavim l'cho lo hishio mitzorosom, afilu elu lo yevoishu mitikvosom elo ta'aneim v'toshiyeim. And I think every day in Shmoneh Esrei that maybe that's the pshat na'al tzadikim. We say like this, Yeh emunah rachamecho Hashem Elokeinu. He should evoke his rachamim on the tzadikim and the same tzohar toiv l'chol aboitchem shimcho be'emes. Give due reward the bitochen of those that aboitchem shimcho be'emes completely. And put us together with them, even though we're not boitchim be'emes. We're only on the level of mekavim. But put it, but we have reached a certain milestone in bitochin. And memela loynevoishki b'chobotochnu, as the pasuk says, gam kol kivecho loyevoishu. And that may be the chesima of the brocha mishon u'miftoch latzadikim. Mishon, we're leaning on him. It's the mishon, something to lean on. Lean on is not 100%, but I have something to lean on. I'm not giving up. U'miftoch, that's the absolute bitochon. And tzadikim, all the mefarshim say, refers to the balei bitochon. Anyway, so at least to our Talmidim, we can give them the sense of, don't give up hope. Hashem can do anything. Hashem is Molei Chesed, Molei Rachamim. Give them a positive image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Give them that sense that he's involved in their lives. Give them that sense that they should never give up hope. Give them that sense that they should count on him at least to the level of, I refuse absolutely to give up hope. Afilu cherev chod emunach al tzavor shel odom al yisyayish o al yimna esatzma min harachamim. And that could do wonders. Have a positive image of Hashem. It gives him a sense of hope. And that becomes a motivation to want to strengthen one's emunah, to want to realize that this is true, because I want Torah Misinai to be a truth because of the fact that I will benefit from it. And this applies to so many other things. There's a beautiful comment here from the Sefer Yoshel Rabbeinu Tam. He says like this, Horoitze lekabel olov oil ho avoido. One wishes to a kabul avoida, avoida Hashem. Tzorech lachshu b'chol hana oiseho ulehistakel b'hem tomin. Think of all its pleasures and focus on them. How often? Tomin. Imagine the ramification of that. V'tzorech l'chol aroitze lilmoid herigol sheyeda. A person wants to learn a herigol, to have a herigol to do avoida Hashem. Ki kol oivet avoido. Anyone who's Isaac in any type of avoid, any kind of difficult undertaking. Has to first think of the benefit that I'm getting from it. And how bad it's going to be if I don't do it. Ukefi goidal ha-hatova habo olov. And according to the magnitude of the teiva that he realizes that he will achieve by doing this avodah, that to that degree, he'll have a teiva. We can induce in our talmidim a teiva for mitzvahs, for avodas Hashem, to the degree that they're constantly focused on the benefits that they will get. If he knows that he's getting a big hano, then it's not so schwer. All of a sudden, I feel that I can handle it. If he's working the adoma, it's hard work. But the goydel, the amount that he's getting paid, that's how much it becomes easier and easier. The yigia will even become pleasurable. There is nothing, Dr. Rabbeinu Tam in the Sefer HaYosho, that nothing that the maskil can be kevish as yitzro, kemoi sheyizko lenefesh hatoivois, v'hanois sheyesh ba'avidus hokeil, v'horois haboiz demishlo yaseno. To think about the toivois and the hanois that he has in the avidus hokeil, and the rois that come if he doesn't do it. And this, it seems very clear, we're talking about this world. Talking about just like a person who's working the field, and he knows he's getting paid so much and so much. And the more that we can give our Talmidim this sense of what the Hanoah that they will have and what the benefits they will have and motivate them. First of all, it makes Hashem into a very, very positive image. They see the Hashem, Moli, the Kel Nekobis Hashem is the end of the Parsha. You know, it says in Hoshem Gul Al Geim. That's only for the Geim anyway. It's not for the Poshet Yidin. But Lamaisa, there's Chesed Hashem and Rachamim and involvement with our lives and how much He cares and how much He loves us. All of these things are so critical. Okay, I would like to now discuss very, very briefly the inyan of Emunah itself. And then we have a number of videos that we produced, which are going to be, they are available to anyone who wishes to use them. I understand in Lakewood and a lot of the eighth grade classes, they've shown them to them. They're very, very, very powerful. I do want to suggest that power in Hashpah is an understatement. It's a very important statement. Power in Hashpah is an understatement. Because when I speak too strongly, then everybody is on resistance mode. We put up our defenses. We don't want to be convinced. We don't want to be brainwashed. But when things are just understated, oh, you know, like a funny thing happened to me on the way to work today, and just happened to notice, I happened to see. These videos are very understated. Now, I admitted previously, and I have to admit again, the reason is there's a goy narrating them. And the reason for that was that he was 1/10 of the price of the frum narrators that would have done it the right way. But after the fact, I realized that's understatement. The way he talks, like, it's non-threatening. You know, Mela, goy is talking. Okay, happens to be he's talking about Jewish things. Very nice. The goy is advocating their Judaism. Okay, you know, that's less resistance, and therefore I think it's even more powerful. But I guess I apologize to you people that it may sound a little bit off base. Anyway, let's just talk for just a few moments about the yesodus of Emuna. We have to convey to our Talmidim and Talmidos in different formats, at different times, in different grades, interdispersed with so much positive motivation to want to be Mekabel, but they have to realize two things. That Yahadus is based on testimony and evidence. Testimony meaning the millions of eyewitnesses who witnessed the miracles of Mitzrayim, who saw Brias HaOlam in Mitzrayim, who saw the Borei Olam Mamish in this full Shlita of the universe and all of the Nisim that took place, including the Yam Suf. And then he comes to Har Sinai, Bifnei Am Vo'edo, the whole nation, by any count, a few million of Foshas between the men and the women, and the 600,000 between 20 and 60, and then women, and then children, older, younger. We're talking about 2-3 million people. And he speaks directly to them. And he identifies himself as Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Remember all those miracles? I did all of them. And now I'm going to tell you what I want. Lo yelecho elim acherim al ponai, lo sasar lecho pesel, v'chulei v'chulei. A Maimon Har Sinai, a unique event in all of world history. And the truth of the matter is, when I meet up with someone who claims he's an apikoros, you know, which I, every time, the first thing I say to him, wow, can I sit down and talk to you? I never met an apikoros in my life. And officially, I've met hundreds, but I never really met an apikoros in my life. So, and when I want to soft, I don't talk to him about Maimon Har Sinai. I said, you know, the Jewish claim is very different from all the other claims. Don't talk about the fact, just the claims. No other religion claims a public revelation, all private revelations. And then, of course, I tell him, well, you know, I didn't tell you the whole truth. Because there are five religions that do claim there was a public revelation. They are Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Sikhism, and Baha'i. And let him smile. And then I tell him, but the only thing is, they all agree that that public revelation happened to the Jews at Sinai. Nobody ever made up a narrative that says we had a public revelation. Curious, let him think about it. And of course, the rational conclusion to that is, and maybe you should even present it on another time, another day, is that you can't get away with such a story unless it actually happened. And believe me, if you could, they would have. They copied everything else. They copied everything. They copied Christianity, copied so much from Yahadus. Even Islam copied so much. And yet that nobody dared to copy. That's the winning argument. There it is. You can't get away with it. But then I have a question. Why do they write it in their Bibles? Why is every Christian Bible has the whole story of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf and Maimon Har Sinai? What good does it do them? I think that there is this portion. They need it desperately. Because I need, who's going to believe that the Ribbono Shel Olam speaks to any human being? They couldn't get away. They want to tell you there was a private revelation, something that God appeared to someone when there's never been such a thing. He doesn't talk to human beings. So now we got Tartel Reyesa. First of all, it's private. Second of all, who ever heard of such a thing? But no, what are you talking about? There's millions of eyewitnesses that heard Hashem speak. Oh, okay, now we had another vision. He spoke to someone privately. But then they get into real trouble. Because, I'll tell you a little story. I want to get to the videos. We did a seminar many years ago in Jasper, in the Canadian Rockies. It was an outreach seminar. And I get on the plane in Toronto at 7:30 in the morning to travel 4 hours to Edmonton, to drive 4 hours to the Rockies, to Jasper. Next to me, I'm sitting in the last seat on the plane, and there's a seat in between, and then by the window, there's a well-dressed businessman. Didn't look Jewish. And they bring me, as soon as the plane takes off, they bring me my kosher breakfast. So he looks at me and says, I feel sorry for you. So I said, why do you feel sorry for me? First of all, this breakfast is delicious. And secondly, they're serving from the front of the plane. And you're going to have to wait until they serve 150 people. By that time, I'll be finished my breakfast. So why do you feel sorry for me? No, that's what I mean. You're bound by these archaic laws of Moses. We don't believe, we say, if there's a, I don't know what he said, belief of love of man, love of God, some kind of something. And I wasn't in the mood of talking to this gentleman, motivated to proselytize to non-Jews, having enough trouble with the Jews to tell you the truth. And so I wanted to, shepherd Sechop, leave me alone. So I said, can I ask you a question? Do you believe in the Old Testament? He says, absolutely, every word. I think he said it's the gospel truth, which is nonsense. But anyway, yeah, so, because the gospels are later on. But anyway, so I say, yeah, do you know what happens if a person rises up and he does miracles to prove that he's a prophet? And it's recognized that he predicted the future, he knows everything. And then he says, now let's leave this religion and we'll go to another religion. We're going to serve other gods. Do you know what happens to such a prophet? And he shakes his head and turns around and looks out the window for 4 hours straight. Didn't look my way, didn't eat his breakfast, nothing. This question, there is no answer for. I once spoke to someone who studied to be a Catholic priest 8 years, a genius of a human being, who found out later on in life that he was Jewish, so he became religious and whatever. But he had sympathy. He enjoyed his time in the church. Everything was fine. He says, there is no answer for this question. How can they deal? So look what they have to do. They have to tell the whole world that there was a Maimon Har Sinai, because otherwise, who's going to believe that God speaks to individuals? And then they have to say that he changed his mind, when Beferish, in the document that they print and publish more than any other document in human history, it says that he can't change his mind. Because if anyone comes and says he speaks in the name of Hashem, even if he proves himself to be a Novi, he's put to death. Misosa bechenek, the Rambam says. And the Torah says, what happened? Ki menase Hashem elokeichem eschem. L'odas hayishchem oyevis Hashem elokeichem b'chol avavu b'chol nafshechem. It's just a test. That's why Hashem allows them to do it. So anyway, they're not doing so well, and we're doing fine. And the religions of the world that do believe that there was a public revelation, it's all about the Jews. I remember the first time I said, not the first time, but once recently I said this to someone, a guy was very antagonistic. And immediately he starts, he's Googling, or he's looking on Wikipedia, whatever, and he says, you're wrong! There's another, because I said, no other religion in the world makes this claim. He says, you're wrong! Baha'i makes the claim. I says, yeah, but look what it says there. They claim that it happened to the Jews at Sinai. So this is very important for our Talmidim to know. However, the Gemara tells us, Gemara in Chulin, Daf Samach, I believe, that Moshe Rabbeinu showed that he knew so much about all the animals and all the simonim and everything. So the Gemara says, Oto Moshe Rabbeinu kenigi hoyo blisteri hoyo, ela mikan tshuva le'omer in Torah min Hashemayim. He says, this is a tshuva, the information that the Torah knew, that no human being could have known, that is a tshuva to anyone who would say Torah min Hashemayim. Now it's really very clear. Torah min Hashemayim we know the Mesorah. Torah min Hashemayim we know because there were public witnesses, millions of eyewitnesses. And the document was recorded. And it was recorded that they're telling their children, because the pasuk, the Aseres HaDibros is sandwiched in between Atem Ra'isim Asher Asisi Mitzrayim V'Atem Ra'isim Shedibarti Echem Min Hashemayim Shemim Yishemayim Dibarti Mochem. That means the document that they gave their children says that they were eyewitnesses, because it says you saw. If a document said to me I saw and I didn't see, I wouldn't pass it on to my children. And it was passed from generation to generation. And we all know the accuracy of the Sifrei Torah to this very day. You know how accurate it is? This Rabbi Davis, I think he's retired, used to be a rabbi in Young Israel in Hollywood, Florida, told me when he brings his Sefer, every couple of years to fix the Sifrei Torah, so the Sefer tells him that the Reform Rabbi also invites him to fix his scrolls. So he says, I asked the Reform Rabbi, why do you invite a guy like me? What's going on here? He says, I want to tell you something. He says, those scrolls are the only genuine thing I have in this temple. I want to make sure they stay that way. Even the nobody dared ever to change a Sefer Torah. And this is Eidus from generation to generation, accurately, meticulously passed on to this very day. So, Memela, we know that Torah is in Hashemayim. But if anyone has any questions, when we show them the wisdom that Moshe Rabbeinu had, the insights in science, in the world that Moshe Rabbeinu had, that Chazal had, when we show them the Nevuas in the Torah, that the Torah predicted future events thousands of years before they took place, sometimes hundreds, sometimes 1,000, 2,000, depending on which event, how could any of you know? Tshuva lo'emer ein Torah min Hashemayim. If anyone would still question, after everything is said and done, how do you know? Maybe I have a suffix, you know. By the way, one reason people get sfeikus, because we try to tell them and convince them beyond the shadow of a doubt. The worst thing you could do for a person is to try to convince him beyond the shadow of a doubt, because you will curse him to see shadows for the rest of his life. Maybe, who knows? Maybe somebody wants it. Maybe aliens from outer space. Who knows? Maybe this, maybe that. He says, everything in the world goes beyond reasonable doubt. We eat food because it's beyond reasonable doubt that it won't kill us. We get into a car because it's beyond reasonable doubt that we'll get to our destination. V'chulei v'chulei. Life is lived. Truth is determined. Knowledge is acquired beyond reasonable doubt. And don't let them even think to go beyond that, because they'll be seeing shadows for the rest of their lives. Anyway, but to those who would ask questions, and some people do have questions, then besides the clarity of the Messiah and the testimony of the Maimon Har Sinai that took place with the Am V'Eda, millions of eyewitnesses, we also have information in this Torah, and in Chazal too, throughout Chazal, information that no human being could have known at the time. And therefore, that is the answer to anyone who would say Torah is not Min HaShamayim. Now I want to spend whatever time we have left on these videos, but before I do that, I want to bring a few things to your attention. Number one, I don't have enough, we ran out, but these on this USB are all these videos. If you like them, if you think they're appropriate, you can get them. You can either get these from, now if there are two schools, one school here, two schools, how many? What? Two? Same school? Okay, so maybe I'll ask one, each one to take one for the school. And I don't know if I have another one. I have one more. Is there a third school? Okay, so I'll keep one just in case, just for emergency. And they're all on the Priority One website. which you can access, priority-number1.org, with a lot of other very important and interesting material. But this is very, very powerful, and that's number one. Number two, I'd like, before you leave, this is a very popular item that we have. It's like a strengthening emuna, strengthening bitochon. And just 7 points on each one to remember. Very helpful in terms of chizuk. A lot of people I know use this, go over this, with based on the Chavos HaLevavos. This one is a little more original, but something that is, I think, worthwhile that you should take. Now here, again, you say we have two schools, so I want to leave this. This is a book that we published last year. It's called Impassioned Chinuch, A Teacher's Guide to Reaching the Next Generation. I'm told by many experienced mechanchim that it has, one person told me everything, but let's say a lot of what you need to really reach the Talmidim with this. So again, I'm leaving this for the two schools. All right, so please make sure. Here, unfortunately, I only have for one school, so you guys can fight about it if you want, or you could just... a few things are very important. Instilling a lasting emunah, this is a volume that has a lot of articles which can be very helpful in emunah. It can be gotten from our website, it can be gotten on Amazon as well, and anyone who contacts our office will be happy to send you copies of it. It doesn't have to be for a school, it could be for an individual Rebbe, we'll do it. This is called A Letter of Love. It's on Shir HaShirim. Very little vertlach, but very powerful of how much Hashem loves us and how much, surprisingly enough, we love Hashem. Something that's very helpful. This is something that Rebbeim have been using for years, and it's I think it's a very helpful thing, and you could use it or just use the format. On Kiman, on each parsha, it has some vort, like a little vartera to be machazek emuna. And then it has a piece called Benefits and Belief, which is to show benefits of Shmiras HaMitzvos. Very important, because we said before, unless they understand what they're going to get from it, they're going to be very, very very likely to be unmotivated to get involved in the Avodah. So this is something also, it's called Torah Min HaShemayim. I can't resist telling you a little story. The first time I came out with this was many years ago. My kids were younger, and one of my sons was playing. He just was using a computer in the office, and he decided to make me stationary. So he put my name on this, the name of the yeshiva, my name, the Rosh Yeshiva, this, and then he wrote, Mechaber Torah Min HaShemayim. You didn't realize who you're talking to here today. Okay, this is, so I only have one, I'm sorry, but they're accessible. We have copies, we'd be happy to send it out. And this is something that's also a very popular thing. It's called a Bitochen Reader. It has a lot of different essays, ideas, insights, some very, very interesting and powerful information on the whole Inyan of Bitochen. So I'm going to leave these here. Whoever takes them and whoever is interested, it's all up on the Priority One website. And gradually, I think that most of them are getting up on Amazon as well. But we're happy to send it out to you free of charge if you contact us. Okay, so here we have a series now of video presentations. The idea here is that these things shown, well, a few things. Number one, what I do when I do a seminar for schools, for high schools, I talk for 10 minutes and I show a video. Talk for another 15 minutes and show a video. Talk another 5-10 minutes, talk a video. And people don't realize that you're talking so long, because the video is something that, you know, they can take an interest in. It gets the point across probably better than a speaker could, and it allows the speaker much more time and much more focus in the communication process. These are things you might want to use in your classroom, how you want to use them. Many people show a few of them at a time, many people show once a week, but they are worthwhile, they are powerful, and I thank you all for your time and your attention.